That doesn't mean that I don't refer to some verses from time to time that we've already studied. But our text this morning is in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. And it has to do with remembering. Bert brought up this morning that very few, and as he substituted here in Tri-Valley, nobody knew what December the 7th was. That's troubling. That's troubling. And if we forget, some of the great men of the past have said, any nation that forgets its history has got no future. Boy, that's a wise statement. If you forget your history, you've got no future. So we are in the book of Ephesians in chapter 2. I want to read verse 1, then we're going to jump over to verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2. Now he's been in chapter 1 speaking in general to us and we, and he has been speaking to the plurality. But now, when you come to chapter 2, he gets personal. He brings it down personal. And you. And you. And you hath he quickened. That word quickened means to make alive, to bring to life, who were dead. He brought you alive that were dead. And we were dead in trespasses and sins. I told the students down at the Bible college when we studied that passage, I said, if you want a biblical verse to back up the crazy television series, The Walking Dead, there it is. There's your verse. That's one of the most dumbest. Well, not one of the most dumbest. It's the dozens and dozens of the most dumbest stuff that's on television today. My, oh my. Crazy stuff that they are programming is absolutely unbelievable. How anybody could sit and watch it is beyond me. But you, then he tells them in verse 11, wherefore remember. Remember. We always need to keep in remembrance where God brought us from and what God has done for us. He's done for us what no religion can do or any church can do. He's done for us what no government can do or any government agencies. He's done for us what no one else could do. He made us alive. And that life is eternal. It's not temporal like these bodies. These bodies are temporal. They'll go back to the ground. But the soul was made in the image of God. And what God makes is eternal, because He's eternal. He said in creation, let us make man in our image. God is a spirit. He doesn't have a body form, features. And we were made in the image of God. Eternal. Eternal. Now when we were dead, we were eternally dead. There's the death of this flesh and there's the death of our soul. The death of the soul means to be separated from God. The death of the body means to be separated from the body. The soul leaves the body, but it doesn't cease to exist, as some religions want to teach and present. He hath quickened, remember that. He gave us life eternal. He did that. When no one else or anything else could accomplish that, God did that for us. Now, remember, And I'm going to be reflecting back to a few of the statements that he made prior to the instructions of remembering. In verse 4, he lets them also know it's not something that you deserved. It's not something that you've earned. It's not something you achieved. But God, who is rich in mercy, that song, Mercy Walked In, what a song. The author, I don't know whoever wrote that song, but when mercy walked in, what a song. One of the young ladies up here, the night the choir was here, three young ladies come up and they sang a trio. And the song was, I'm the Only Thing He Ever Bought. Why can't we come back to some good songs that mean something? I told them on Tuesday when I was down, and we're over finishing up the book of Ephesians, that we're to carry a spiritual song in our heart, melody unto the Lord, making melody in our heart to the Lord. And I told him, I said, these modern songs, they take a little phrase, and then with electric guitars and the drums and all of those wild instruments take off, and for 4 or 5 minutes, there's a group of people that are standing on the stage, and all they say is that little phrase, take me down to the river, take me down to the river, bum, 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 take me down to the river, take me down to the river, take me down to the river, oh, take me down to the river, bum, 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 and that's it. That's the song. That's the song. And the amazing thing is, everybody back in the audience, woo, hallelujah, hallelujah, woo! It's not music. It's not music. That was a great song Larry sang this morning. It had content. It had meaning. It ministered to us. That kind of music that I just demonstrated, it entertains the flesh. But I got news for you. We don't come here to be entertained. We come here as Christians to get our faith strengthened. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we come here as Christians to get our faith stronger and to be fed spiritually. We need that. Boy, if there's ever a time we need it worse than we do today, we need it. God's people need it. And without it, God, who is rich in mercy, mercy, when mercy walked in, we didn't earn anything. We didn't achieve anything. We didn't merit anything. And so he says that very clearly in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. We need to remember what I have in Christ, I didn't earn. And neither did I deserve. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherein He loved us, it's not of works, in verse 9, not of works lest any man should boast. God says, I'm not going to let you be a part of delivering yourself or quickening yourself because you turn around and boast and get arrogant about it and say, I deserve God and I deserve heaven. No man deserves God or heaven. Christ came and did it for us. While we were yet, here's what it says in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. When we were dead in sins, He quickened us. Why? Because God, who is rich in mercy. So it's not something that anyone ever achieved, merited. Nothing that anyone could ever work for. It's a gift. And it's a gift from God. Then in verse 10, he takes that gift after we receive it and begins to build. We are his workmanship. He starts working on us after he saves us. He starts working on us. Steve and I went up to his great-grandfather's on Friday afternoon for a couple hours. He's a little confused about what he has or what he doesn't have. And we had a great visit with the old gentleman. I say old. He's not much older than I am. But he's got a lot of experiences. Pray for him. His name is Pat. Pray for him. We're going to go back up after Christmas and visit with him again. Pray for him. He'll get it clear in his mind what he has or doesn't have, and that we can bring him to assurance and clearance of what is available for anyone that wants it. He starts working on us. If there's no evidence of any change in our life, then something's wrong. And I sat there. I listened for about 45 minutes as Pat gave me his life history and story. Then I pulled my chair up to his table and I said, I want to tell you some things. And I started about my life and my testimony and how God found me and saved me and the extremes that God had to go through to get my attention, to electrocuting me, about killing me before I would even take notice. That's love. That's mercy. So undeserving. Remember that. Remember that. Keep that on the throne of your heart. What do I have today in Christ but what he gave it to me because of his great and rich mercy? I was dead in sins and trespasses and sins, but he who is rich mercy came while I was dead and made me alive. And then he started working on me. We are his workmanship. Remember that. Remember, wherefore means to go back and reflect upon what's been taught. And wherefore, there in verse 11 is somewhat of a connecting to what is going to be more to remember, even greater things to remember. Where they were in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, is greatly explained. But what he tells them in verse 11, 12, and 13 explodes. It's an explosive unveiling. Wherefore remember in verse 11 that ye, that's personal, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That's simply saying the Jew calling the Gentiles. That's all that means. The Jews practiced circumcision, the Gentiles didn't. The Jews, as a sign, identification, had a mark different from other people. Just a sign. And that's what he said in verse 11, the difference between the Jew and the Gentile. You weren't, and that's what he's saying is, you weren't a Jew. You weren't in the Jewish family. You weren't of the seed of Abraham. You weren't in the promised line. Verse 12, that at that time you were, here it is, that at that time ye were without Christ. I lived nearly 32 years of my life without Christ. I went to church. formality, withdrew the ritualisms and all that was involved with it. But I was without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. I was an alien. When it comes to the nation of Israel, which is known as the nation of God, God's chosen people, I was an alien. I went to Romania, went to Moldova. I've been in many other foreign countries as an American citizen. I was there as an alien to stay there. I had to have proper documents. I had to have proper procedures to go through so that I could legally stay there. But as far as being, I was not one of them. I was an alien. And we think of aliens as Mars and Venus. Now they think maybe there's life on the moon. Crazy people. Crazy people. Aliens. They got these new sightings that's gone around all over. I don't know if you caught it this morning on the news or not. I'm not even sure what it is. But it's been seen here in America, and it's been seen overseas. It's been seen here and there. Mysterious times, they say. Mysterious times. I don't even know what it was. A bunch of crazies. Aliens. Listen, the only life God ever created is on this earth. Period. The only life that God ever created is on this earth. Period. Because that's creation. That's creation. If you believe in creation, then you have to believe that there's no human life anywhere except on this earth. If you believe in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, then there is no life anywhere else except on this earth. That is creation. Period. So I don't have to go out in Mars and space and try to find human life. There's enough of it on this earth. We were aliens and strangers concerning the covenants of promises. Of promises. We could claim none of those promises under Abraham. Because we were aliens, we were strangers to the covenants, and we were strangers to the promises. No hope. No hope. I've probably been told in this past year, dozens of different people in passing, in talking, this is hopeless. This is absolutely hopeless. It's a hopeless case. It's a hopeless cause. This is absolutely hopeless. My friend, as long as there's a God in heaven, there's hope. And He's always been. He always will be. And He is right now. Eternal. God never had a beginning. God will never have an end. God is eternal. He is the deity. And as long as there is God, there is hope. I told a friend that was in our church down in West Virginia, and she had a close friend that had a heart attack in surgery. And I told the friend, I said, as long as there's a breath, there's a hope. Long as there's a breath, there's a hope. As long as there's a God, there's a hope. And there's always been a God, there is a God, and there always will be a God. His name is Jehovah. And He came to this earth, Emmanuel, to be God with us. Formed in a little baby. Think of that, the Creator of the earth that created all of this. Came in the form of a baby. Jehovah God. We were aliens and strangers to all of those promises made to Father Abraham, and we were without hope. We had no hope. Remember that! I want to tell you, if we will do more remembering, we'll do far less complaining. Do far more remembering where God brought me from and take it to the next step and think, where would I be today had He not saved me? Where would I be today had He not brought me where I am? Where would I be today without Him? Remember that. We were strangers and aliens to the covenant and the provinces, having no hope, without God in the world. People have religion, but they don't have God. I see pictures all the time, and I don't say this to be sarcastic, and I don't say this to be rude. I just say it to be biblical, factual. And many of them put pictures of Christ on the cross with scars and blood and so forth. That's not my Jesus. My Jesus is not on the cross. My Jesus is in my heart. My Jesus was taken off the cross. There's no Jesus today on the cross. If He was still on the cross, that would adventure into the la-la land of defeat. He came off the cross. He ascended to heaven. And He's coming back. He's coming back. A lot of the talk about religious is not biblical. Not biblical. Then he breaks into verse 13. But now, verse 11 and 12 is where we were. In verses 1 through 10, where we were in sin, where we were in deadness, where we were in by nature the children of wrath, where we were in our deprived, sinful nature is where we were in verses 1 through 10. But in verse 11 and 12 is where we were without God. We were not without sin, but we were without God. For if we had God in verses 1 through 10, we would not have sin. We would not have death. If we had God in our heart, if we had Christ in our heart, we would have hope. And in verses 1 through 10, we would not be dead in trespasses and sins. So verses 11 and 12 is inserted to show that's the reason you're in the condition that you were, dead in trespasses and sins, because you were aliens. You were strangers. You were without Christ, without God, no hope. That's where religion leaves people, with no hope, no assurance, no confidence. I know where Christ is today. He's in my heart by faith. I know that. But now, verse 13, but now, he turns the page. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were afar off are made nigh. You're brought close by the blood of Christ. Begins in verse 11 by remembering and ends in verse 13 with the blood of Christ. And the Passover, the Lord's table in the church, the Passover in the Old Testament. The Lord's table was the Passover of the Old Testament. The Old Testament was the Lord's table in the New. One and the same. God, the night of the Passover, when death raged through the land, it was a night to be much remembered, and darkness prevailed upon all of the land, and the death angel came through, and to prevent death and allow a person to live, God was looking for one thing. If the blood had been applied. The death of Christ is historical and biblical. The burial of Christ is both historical and biblical. The resurrection of Christ is both historical and biblical. The ascension of Christ is both historical and biblical. It took place. But it must be applied. That little lamb that lost its life, and there were dozens of them that night. Every family had to have a lamb. Every family had to have a lamb. And if they wanted to stay alive and not have death come upon them, they had to take the blood of that lamb, and they had to put the blood on the doorpost of each side and across the lintel. And when death came through that night, if God saw the blood, He passed over. And that's where the word Passover comes from. He passed over. And my friend, on July the 3rd, 1978, at about 11 o'clock in the morning, Jesus Christ came into this poor, wretched sinner's life and saved me and forgave me. And the blood was applied. And today, when death rules over and God looks down from heaven, He looks down upon me. He sees nothing that I've ever done. He sees nothing that I've ever accomplished. He's looking for one thing. He's looking for the blood. Has it been applied in your life? His death, His burial, His resurrection, His shedding of the blood. It's all historical, it's all biblical. But if it's not been applied to your heart, it does you no avail. It does you no good. And I trust this morning and in this building we all have had that event, where we have humbled our hearts and received Him by faith, accepting Him as our Savior. And the blood of Christ has brought us nigh. You get close to God, you escape death by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's dear Son. It's called the blood of God. It's no blood that ever went through the veins of a person. It's no blood that ever went through the vein of Mary. And we know Joseph was not the father. You don't get your blood from your mother. You get your blood from your... You don't get your blood from your father. You get your blood from your mother. And to prove a point, a virgin conceived and bare a son. And God says, I prepared him a body. That body was formed by God in Mary. Never got anything from Mary. God did that work. So we would have a sinless Savior. Jehovah, God in the flesh, Emmanuel. It was the blood of God, special. It was the blood of God. It was the body of God that God specially prepared and created for Him. The blood. The life of the flesh. That's why God chose blood, because it's a symbol of life. if blood gets infected with all kinds of different diseases that can get into the blood, you become sick. Many people die from it. If you bleed to death, you have no life. I've given it upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And we don't hear much preaching on the blood of Christ today. Not near enough. There's where they were. There's where God brought them to. They never earned it. They never deserved it. God, who was rich in mercy, provided it. They were just recipients of it. And God said, remember it. Remember it. Remember where you were. Remember where He brought you. And where we would be today. I want to read verse 14 in closing. For He is our peace. This time of Christmas time, we say peace on earth, peace on earth. When people don't even have peace in their heart. He is our peace. Who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall or partition between us. He took down that wall that sin built between us and God on the cross with His sacrifice for all of our sins. He took it down. Not only do we have forgiveness, we have peace. We have peace. You know, I've been thinking a lot, and I don't know that there's any reason. I guess when you get to be almost 74 years old, you have a realization that you've got far more behind you than you got in front of you. But I've been thinking a lot about passing from this earth over to the next. Been dwelling a lot upon heaven. Thinking about what it's going to be like. People that's up there that I know. Been dwelling on that. Been thinking about it a lot. A lot. I'm not planning to die today, but I would welcome if it does. It's okay. But the only way a person can dwell on things like that is to shut the television off. Shut the iPads off. Shut all the technology off. Shut the world out. And get alone by yourself and meditate on all that God has done for me. And where would I be today had He not done it for me? And that causes you to have peace. If you listen to the news and follow the Facebook, and you follow all of the propaganda and everything, you know what you're going to have? Anger. Anger. Unrest. Ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. This world's not my home. I'm not going to stay here. I'm leaving. I'm going home. I'm going up there. I got a home up there. He is not will be. If verse 13 is a reality, but now, notice in verse 11, in time past in verse 11, look in verse 13, but now, if that's a reality, then He is your peace. So peace on earth, no, peace in our hearts. And you can have everything in the world, the finest luxury plush. You can be the most powerful person on earth. You can have power and prestige. You can have everything that this world can offer. But if you don't have peace, if you don't have peace, it is to no avail. If you can't enjoy in your own heart, if your heart's like a turbulence all the time, and what good is all this stuff? And I will say, all of that stuff doesn't bring peace. Doesn't bring peace. Remember. Remember. Remember what He's done for all of us. Remember. Those that do a lot of remembering do a whole lot less complaining. Facebook friends, at this time we will be disconnecting with you. Thank you for being with us this morning on this Sunday morning, first Sunday in December, hard to believe. We thank you for being with us. We will be disconnecting. Be back again streaming live tonight somewhere around 6:15 to 6:20. So if you can be back with us tonight, we would appreciate it. And we would be happy to have you with us. So stay safe. Stay blessed. Thank you for connecting. Don't forget, down in the back on the ledge, there's a little sheet of paper. We are gathering through the month of December baby gifts for Shay and Mitch. They're going to have their little girl in February. We'll collect them all here, and then Stacy will give them to her after the first year. So don't forget the